Welcome to week six of the season-long DFS main slate video, I'm going to call it this week. Haven't actually got a proper name for it. Rich, who's joining me, hasn't really pitched in with a really good name yet, so I'm kind of waiting. Rich, what? You've been too busy working. Your employers have asked you to do work.
I know it's terrible. It's honestly, I don't know what's going on. From 9 till 5, they're asking me to do stuff, and I'm like, what is this?
I never signed up for this.
Yeah, turns out I actually did. They showed me the piece of paper that I signed,
Was it a
which
post-it note?
is. Yeah, it was. Yeah, no. Yeah, but no, life's good. It's locked down still, isn't it? So, but luckily we're still in tier one, I guess.
We're in tier a borough, two things next near two boroughs, whatever you want to call them, near us are in tier two, probably going to be in tier three in Elmbridge, and we're like 2 bits away. If you hear any cat noises, that's because my cat has decided to pop in and say hello. She might wander across the screen any minute now, maybe not. So just warning you. Professional and all, mate. All professional.
All professional.
All professional. How's your week been anyway? Are you busy? Apart from work.
It's been right. It's been a bit of a weird one, hasn't it, with the game being postponed.
I quite like not having a Thursday night football.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like with the week ending on Tuesday,
Tuesday night, Wednesday morning.
Just feels a little bit. I don't know.
Disjointed.
It just feels weird. It just feels weird.
Well, I think we
But
might. There's a potential to have more, another maybe a late Monday, Tuesday game this week, isn't there? There she goes.
yeah.
With the Falcons game at Minnesota, it looks like it's gone ahead after the result test thingies. The Colts had five tests positive that were all false positives, and now the Patriots have got issues, and they'll probably get their game move so Cam can get a little bit more rest.
It's almost like they didn't want to play while Cam wasn't available.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
It's weird. Who would have thought it?
It is weird, mate. It is weird. But anyone who's watched us since, I think this is our fourth week, isn't it? Doing this,
Yeah.
will notice that there is no leaderboard for season-long DFS. We had a slight malfunction for week five, which unfortunately made week five void. Some people were quite happy about that from looking in the chat to see if my cat's tail with some of the scores that they were posting. But we got through that, and so everyone's getting 0 points for week five, so it's all fair game. Would you have scored a lot of points, Rich? Would you have banged a 300 out if it wasn't for the void?
I'm going to say yes, but no, I don't think I did. I think because I think I was in the contest that ran,
Yeah, my one.
but yeah, but yeah, no, I think I just had a meh kind of week again. So
It was a good week to have a meh kind of week.
yeah.
It was it, for anyone who's interested, who isn't in the competition, it was a an auto resize problem where the contest wasn't set to auto resize when one person didn't enter for the week. So that one person basically made it void. We don't know who it was. I don't care who it was. It was one of those things. It happens. And we move on to week six, don't we? Let's talk about the main slate for week six, shall we? We're going to do it slightly differently. Again, I think playing around with the format is going to be a good way of working out what's best, what works best, and what doesn't last 2 hours. So we're going to talk through high price quarterback, running back, wide receivers that we like. Then we'll go through low price ones, a stack or stacks that we like, a player of the week, and then a team, a heads up DraftKings little competition between me and Kingy. which will go every single week, which will be interesting to see come week 17. How many points I am up on you?
I mean, that doesn't make me feel good about myself.
No, I was going to. Do you want to do? Here's an interesting one. Do you want to do who wins a week, or do you want to do highest score at the end of week 7, cumulative score?
I don't mind.
Okay. We'll decide off air, but that's an interesting
one. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Quite interested like that. Let's go on to our high price QBs. Who do you like this week? That are priced a little bit higher.
So, I think the one that stands out for me probably most is Aaron Rodgers, who's 7,500.
Okay.
He's not really someone that I'm fitting to my lineup. So I think I'm actually really going to talk about Ben Roethlisberger, who is 6,700. So he's kind of, he's just eking into that slightly more expensive territory. But I think that this matchup is great for him. Cleveland secondary is not good at all. And they've lost Greedy Williams now for a little bit. So Big Ben's really come back with a vengeance this season, it seems.
Yeah, he's been solid.
Ten touchdowns far.
Only one interception. And DraftKings points is 22, 22, 19, 21.
I think this is definitely a game where he should do well.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's interesting. I'll be honest, Aaron Rodgers didn't even come into the equation for me. I think maybe
he's
second highest, 7,500 this week.
Yeah.
I'm just having a look at what he's previously priced at. He started at 6'3", 6'9", then went down to 6'2", 7'2". I just think that price is going to cost you elsewhere in your lineup.
Yeah, if you buy him at that price, he has to do really well. Yeah. 100%.
And this Tampa Bay defense is pretty good.
It is pretty good. Now, the thing is, one thing you have to bear in mind is that the Green Bay offensive line has really improved this season.
Mm.
And Rodgers has only been sacked 3 times this season.
Yep.
Like, he's able to kind of do what he wants in the pocket. So, you know, that really helps a guy like him who likes to let plays develop a little bit before he gets the ball out. So,
yeah. So are they the two QBs high price that you were kind of...
Yeah, they're the two guys that I've thought about.
It's interesting. I've got two totally different ones, which is always nice. Mine's starting with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I knew it was going to
be against Tennessee. He's 7,000. I started him last week in most, probably 70% of my lineups. And because the schedule was getting easier, and he had a little bit of a breakout last week against Jacksonville. And even though Tennessee did look defensively better against the Bills than they have done, It didn't really worry me. It was more, that game was more about the Bills turning the ball over
than it being forced.
Yeah. Than the actual being concerned about the actual defense against Josh Allen, for example. He had so much time in that pocket. That Bills O-line played really well. The touchdown he threw to Yeldon it was Yeldon, wasn't it? Yeah. At the back of the end zone was beautiful. I've got Watson. He's going to be probably on my high price list going forward for the next couple of weeks, because I think Watson is going to turn it on. Brandon Cook's turned up. He's Will Fuller's healthy, which is
about at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment. Randall Cobb is solid. Jordan Akins and Darren Fells, pretty solid. David Johnson is David Johnson. We talked about him on the pod last night. It's just, you kind of know he gets. Yeah. You're not getting anything flashy. Yeah. 7,000, I don't hate the price. Again, it might price you out elsewhere, but I think you could stack him with Brandon Cooks at Cooks' price this week as well, which would be a nice stack. My next quarterback is May Stafford at 6,300 going up against Jacksonville.
Just start
offenses against Jacksonville.
Yeah,
I don't know if CJ Henderson, the cornerback, is 100% yet. If he plays, it upgrades them a little bit, but if he doesn't, then I just think this line, Matt Stafford, Kenny Golladay, even Marvin Jones, Hockenson, Swift, could be really, really good day for the Lions. I see this being and I think the bookmakers have it as a high scoring game as well on the point. Mm. 54 or 55, I think, off the top of my head. Matt Stafford for me is him and Watson are going to be the base of most of my lineups this week. I think after you mentioned Roethlisberger, I think he might get added in as well. I quite like the thought of what Roethlisberger, unfortunately, with Deontay Johnson out, not great.
That's okay. Not great.
It's an Eric Ebron week then.
Yeah, Eric Ebron or Chase Claypool.
Maybe. Okay, what about your running backs?
So, I kind of didn't want to say it because I feel like everyone's probably going to be putting him in. Mattison. I feel like it might be a 1 week or maybe 2 week kind of play with the news that Cook's injury isn't as bad as everyone thought. But 7,200. Minnesota are really committed to the run.
Yeah.
And the Falcons defense, that seems optional at this point of the season.
I'm not sure we even have one.
Yeah, I think it's optional. I think it's just like sometimes they go, nah, we'll sit this one. That's fine.
I've got Matt on my list as well.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of not, I don't want to say contrarian play because it's probably not, but when you look at the other guys that are around about that same price, he's got projected ownership of 5-10%. So it's lower than the other guys. Like
I'm surprised it's that low. There's part of me which thinks that he's going to be in, a lot of people will pick him.
Well, I think the thing is putting people off is you go for Mattison, who we've not really seen really get a heavy workload at 7,200, or you could go Derrick Henry, 7,300.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about $100, you know,
if I'm honest, if I'm having
you might, the choice, I'm going to go for him.
Also, you look at
like Mike Davis is slightly cheaper as well
against Chicago,
and he's been doing well. See, this is the thing that's why I think his ownership is that low, because at that point there are other guys that you might go, I could just spend a little bit more, spend a little bit less.
Yeah, my only slight concern about Mattison is that yes, they are committed to the run, but are they going to need to?
I don't even think if like they need to. I think they'll just do it. That's just their DNA.
Mm.
Like, I don't think it's necessarily that they'll have to, you know, they won't have to run all the time, but I think they'll just do it because that's just what the offense does. That's how it's designed to operate.
Yeah, so I've got him on my list as well. Is there anyone else kind of high price wise that you quite like?
No, I kind of mentioned briefly, like Derrick Henry is a good one.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he's on your list.
Yeah, I've got Derrick Henry at versus Texans at 7,300. Texans are allowing about 160 yards a game rushing, I believe, something around those numbers.
Yeah.
Well, that's what DraftKings said to me earlier anyway. You got Madison at 7-2. Falcons are allowed about 110, I believe. And then I go down to who I love this week. It's James Robinson of the Jaguars going up against the Lions. The Lions,
he's 6'8",
isn't he? Yeah, he's 6'8", and the Lions are literally an open door. They're allowing 170 yards a game rushing. Integral. James Robinson, as we've seen, is a part, an integral part of their offense.
Yeah, I mean, we even saw last week he even attempted a pass. So he's trying to do everything, trying to run, receive, and pass the ball.
He still looked better than Gardner Minshew trying that pass, though. Let's be honest.
But he's trying to do everything. He's just trying to drag this team to victory, it seems. Exactly. So yeah, I think that's a good play.
And he's had a couple of mediocre weeks, but I think this is going to be a bounce back week. I wasn't sure about Aaron Jones at 7-6 against the Bucks.
Yeah, it feels quite
high. Player out.
It feels a little bit high for me.
Yeah. And the Bucks are allowing just under 60 rushing yards a game.
Yeah, just feels you're kind of hoping for multiple touchdowns.
You are, and a fair amount of targets. I'll tell you one thing: if Devontae Adams wasn't playing, Aaron Jones would be in a lot
more tempting, definitely
a lot more tempting.
Yeah.
Let's go on to wide receivers. Who's on your list? High priced.
Your boy, Jameson Crowder.
Oh yeah. He's 6,100.
6,100. I can't see how he's not on everyone's list, really.
When it's 20 points minimum. That's his floor.
I mean, he's even doing well when Joe Flacco's throwing him the ball. So if you can do that, you deserve to be in every lineup, I think. You know. Yeah. I mean, I don't think we need to say too much about that. Like, it feels like a slam dunk.
Yeah.
With the price. Yeah, good play.
Anybody else?
Adam Thielen, obviously.
Yeah.
Because Falcons.
Because I think you could potentially even slide Justin Jefferson in. Thielen 7,300 against Falcons. Jefferson's, I think he's valued at 6.
So 6, yeah.
You wanted a part of that tight. Vikings offense, wide receiver core against the Falcons, and didn't want to spend up, you could drop down to Jefferson, but I still favour Thielen this week. I think he's the wide receiver.
Thielen's still the alpha, isn't he? He's still the alpha there. So, he's the guy I'd prefer, but I don't mind sliding down to Jefferson if I needed to.
Yeah. No, I've got three on my list. I've got Thielen at 7-3, as mentioned, and Crowder, as you mentioned, against Miami at 6-1, and Kenny Golladay against Jacksonville at 6,200. I'm a massive, massive fan of Kenny Golladay, and I'm just going to say exactly the same thing I said to Matt Stafford: start any offensive pieces against Jacksonville. Kenny Golladay, Golladay could have a fantastic game this week, and I love the price of 6,200.
Yeah,
really like it. Tight ends. I'll start with tight ends. There's only two high price ones I like. It's the most obvious one for me in the world, and that's Mark Andrews, the Mandrews, going against Philadelphia, who hemorrhage points, touchdowns, yards, catches to tight ends. He is priced at 6,500, so 1,000 more than the next best, which is Mike Gesicki. He is Lamar Jackson's safety blanket. He's target-wise, he's up and down. He's seen 6, then 3, then 8, then 3, then 9. But a point, I think he's fairly safe. I think you can probably bank on Andrews for at least 60, at least 4 for 60 in a touchdown, can't you?
Yeah, I would say so.
That's against Philadelphia. And then it's Johnny Smith against Houston. At 5,200, Johnny Smith has played He scored two touchdowns on Tuesday night, didn't he?
Yeah, I think
one that shouldn't have. So. One that shouldn't have. But he's seen a very, very solid amount of targets. 7, 8, 5, 7. You see him catching the ball about five times, and he's scoring.
He scored 5 touchdowns this season.
Yeah, exactly.
So just over 1 a game.
There's part of me that I would probably, and his value is at 5.2. I would probably, if I had the option price wise, I prefer the price on Johnny Smith than I do to Mark Andrews, saving 1,300.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think Johnny Smith, they both feel kind of similar in their red zone weapons.
Yeah.
The difference is obviously the 1,300, which you can use elsewhere.
Which can be handy.
Yeah.
What about you, tight end wise, mate?
Well, the obvious one was Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
And keeping a theme of starting everyone against Jacksonville, TJ Hockenson.
Yeah. He's been very, very solid, isn't he?
Yeah, I think I said it in my start set article, which I released today. He's having a solid but unremarkable start to the season. He's just doing his business.
Which is good.
Which is good, which is what you want. And this matchup against Jacksonville is kind of a smash for tight end.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good start at 5,300, so slightly more expensive than Johnny Smith. I'd probably swing to Johnny Smith unless I was stacking Stafford and Hockenson.
Just quickly, the Mark Andrews price is 6,500. There's part of me which thinks that if you picked Mark Andrews, it would be slightly a contrarian play. So I don't think. I'm not sure at that price many people are going to, are they?
No, I mean, the top options I can see on Fantasy Pros, and they've all got 5 to 10% at this point because it gets more accurate over the weekend.
Yeah.
Eric Ebron, TJ Hockenson, Mark Andrews and Johnny Smith. Everyone else is the next tier down, which is 1 to 5%. So those four are the guys that everyone's playing this weekend, it seems. I imagine Ebron will probably increase with the news of Deontay Johnson being out.
Yeah,
yeah, no, definitely. That's probably going to increase his ownership, especially at his price of $4,100.
Yeah, he's quite a nice price, and he's starting to show a little bit more in that offense, which is good to see. Anyone else tight end wise?
No.
Defense. Start me with defense, Kingy.
I feel like the only one is that's expensive that I kind of want to play is the best defense that's in the league. The Colts. The Ravens, I feel, is going to be a good real life defense.
Yeah.
It's not going to get you a lot of fantasy points.
Are you sure?
I don't.
It's Carson Wentz. He loves a sack.
He does. But I just don't. I don't know. I just don't. It feels to me like the Colts are going to get sacks against Cincinnati. 100%.
Yeah.
Because that offensive line is atrocious. And we saw what the Ravens did to the Bengals last week.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Burrow must have just been hoping for the full time whistle from the opening snap.
From the first quarter. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I just think that the Colts are more likely to get those points for you than the Ravens because, you know, we could see them take, you know, kind of take their foot off the pedal a little bit because it's not a divisional matchup.
Mm.
They don't need to rub it in their face.
I've kind of got Ravens / Colts because I've got the money, if I can spend 4,500 at the end, if I've got 4,500 at the end of it, I will play the Colts, the Ravens. If I've got 4,400, I will play the Colts. I'm happy to play either of them if I've got the money to.
The thing is for me, it's like that $500. It could be the difference between Roethlisberger or Watson.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So then it's like, would I prefer to spend up there or defense? So
that's what I was kind of doing that with my the lineup for our little competition. flipping my defense between one and two, going, if I chose them, I could switch them to that player. Oh, but I'm not sure. Yeah, it can be a nightmare in the end. But yeah, that 500 can be incredibly important come the end of the...
Yeah.
Come the end. Cool. Okay, I think we've managed to get through kind of like our high-priced players we like in record quick time. Jesus Christ.
We are doing well.
Good tonight, mate. Let's go on to our low-priced. QBs, who stands out for you this week?
Now, I know you said to me just before we started recording that you said it is less than 6,000, but my guy's 6,100.
That's fine.
I'm going for, because I would select the Colts and save the 500. So it's Kirk Cousins. How can it not be 6,100 against the Falcons? We spoke about it earlier with wide receivers. I think this is kind of going to be a get right game for Cousins. He's actually been not as bad as it might feel like he is for fantasy. So,
wasn't the get right game supposed to be against the Seahawks?
Yeah, it was supposed to be, but
249-2.
But this to me feels like another game where you have the opportunity to get right before the bye week.
Yeah. I like the play. I'm just...
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. They're going to need to get something from this game, because they have a bye week next week. Well, scheduled bye week.
Yeah.
And then Green Bay, Detroit. At Green Bay, home against Detroit, and then at Chicago. So they're going to need to get something here before that stretch of divisional games, especially against Green Bay and the Bears.
Yeah. It'd be a nice stack with Adam Thielen.
Jefferson.
Would be a nice stack. Is there anyone else kind of that kind of price that you like?
If you're pushing me to name it, it's got to be Ryan Fitzpatrick, 5'9", against the Jets. I don't really want to put him in, because I feel as though we're getting to that point where like everyone's starting to get excited about Ryan Fitzpatrick, which normally means this is the game where he throws 8 interceptions.
Yeah.
But 5,900, you can't really balk at that too much.
Yeah, so, I've got Fitzpatrick on my list, and the same thoughts with you with regards to him is it just seems a little bit too Fitzpatrick-y. Now
it's too Fitzmagic-y at the moment.
I'm waiting for
Fitztragic to turn up. That's the thing.
But then there is also this: they could legitimately be 30 points up at the end of the third quarter and sit him.
Yeah, exactly.
And in comes Tua for the get a little bit of experience.
Yeah.
But at 5,009, I don't mind him. I think I would probably pick another guy on my list at 5,900, Tannehill, at the Texans over him if I had the choice. Tannehill's just playing some unbelievable ball at the moment.
Yeah,
he's got some great weapons. They've got a running game.
I think Humphreys returns as well this
week.
That's
going to be quite big for him. I've got one real cheapo, and it's Carl Allen.
Mentioned him last week.
Yeah, at 5,100. He can use his legs. The Giants are trash. They play better against Dallas defensively a little bit, but if you picking 5,100 could really give you boost some options elsewhere on the rest of your lineup.
Yep.
You were just trying to save a little bit and think, oh, I might get 14-15 points there, and then I can bump up somewhere else. So mine were Tannehill, Fitz and Allen. I think Tannehill's my favourite one of the three at the price of 5,900. Running backs, where I think we're going to start with probably the same one, aren't we?
I don't know. You tell me.
Is David Montgomery?
There you go.
Chicago Bears are going up against the Carolina Panthers. He is priced at 5 $1,800, isn't he? Which is quite a tasty price, and the Panthers are allowing 135 rushing yards a game. The fact that Tariq Cohen is obviously on IR now and has been for, I think, the last couple of games, he's now seeing targets. Last two games, he's seen 6 and 8, and that is ever so important in PPR. It's huge. I think he's Nick Foles' second target. He looks at Allen Robinson. If he can't get it to him, he's going to get it to Dave Montgomery. And at 5,800, I think it's, I think I on this matchup, I think he's vastly underpriced. I think he should be over 6.2, 6.3.
Yeah, when I saw his price, I thought that is, he's going to be chalk. But his projected rostership is 5 to 10%.
Really?
At the moment.
Wow.
Yeah, so but the thing is that is quite a wide window when you think of it. That gets more accurate as the weekend goes on, as we said. But yeah, I think that price is perfect for him, really.
Anyone else?
David Johnson.
Okay, yeah.
5,400, so slightly cheaper against Tennessee.
Yeah,
it is what it is. Like, you know, you're going to get the volume there. It's going to be somewhat unremarkable.
Yeah,
but it should be solid. If you want to have something that's maybe a little bit more, I'm going to see him on red zone a couple more times. Then Myles Gaskin.
Yeah,
same price.
At the 5,400
at the Jets. Yeah, so that should be a good game
with no Le'Veon Bell there.
No Le'Veon Bell. What's more interesting for Myles Gaskin, I had him a sit for the last couple of weeks, is he seems like he's made the team forget that Jordan Howard is on the roster.
What? I don't understand this Jordan Howard thing, because Jordan Howard is a good running back.
He's just... Jordan Howard is...
It's Lamar Miller.
I was going to say Frank Gore.
They're the same.
Like, well, Lamar Miller has a little bit more pep in his step.
Not anymore, he doesn't.
Not anymore, but he's just going to get you, like, you just hand the ball to him and you know you're going to get 3 yards.
Yeah.
Which is great for a coach, not so good for fantasy.
No.
But now he's not taking goal line work. It gives Gaskin the opportunity to score touchdowns, which is vital.
And the price, 5.4, is really nice. I quite like it. I've got Montgomery was on my list. Gaskin was on my list. Damien Harris, if the game goes ahead, at 5,000. I think the Patriots will get a lead, and they will. It's more of a just a gut feeling for me, and I usually go with my gut. They will kind of, fourth quarter, they have the ball, they're just going to run. It's not all going to be with Damien Harris, don't get me wrong. They'll pepper in some Rex Burkhead and Sony Michel if he's healthy. But I think Damien Harris showed in the last game he played 17 carries for over 100 yards. He looked really quite explosive. 5,000. I think it's a fair price, if I'm honest. If you think the Patriots, like me, the Patriots are going to get a lead and then just run. I don't think they need to make Cam throw the ball all over the place. Get up by 14 and their defense will do the job.
Yeah.
And I've got on the other side of the ball, Philip Lindsay at 4.3 if Melvin Gordon doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of volume.
The volume will be there for him. So
exactly. Let's go wide receivers. Who have you got?
Let's just chase the points, shall we? Let's chase Claypool, 5,200. With Deontay Johnson out, if the ball has to go somewhere, Claypool will get something after he made Ben look like a genius. I'm sure he'll get the ball. And yeah, we already spoke about the secondary. It's not great. it's actually, spoiler alert, it's actually going to be, it's one of my stacks, Big Ben and Claypool.
Interesting.
Combined cost is 11,900. Which isn't too bad. And definitely gives you some touchdown upside, as we saw last week.
Yeah. Chase Claypool. Anybody else to join Chase?
Brandon Cooks. You mentioned him earlier with the price.
Yeah.
Other one for me is Chenault, if he's a go. Particularly if DJ Chark misses or seems like he's limited.
Yeah.
But Chenault was, he did miss practice this week, so that's just something that you should maybe just keep an eye out for. But we know there's going to be passing volume in this game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, same price, 5,200. So that's a decent price for those two.
Yeah.
Last one I had was Jarvis Landry.
Love a bit of Jarvis.
Your other boy. Yeah. 4,900.
That price is silly. That's a silly price for Jarvis.
Particularly in PPR. I mean, it seems somewhat ridiculous to me that you can get Darius Slayton for 5,400 or Jarvis Landry for 4,900.
He's just been rock solid, isn't he?
It's just weird to me. Just feels strange. Like, he costs 100 more than Sterling Shepherd, who's on IR.
And 200 more than Corey Davis, who's on COVID IR.
So
it's ridiculous. And he's cheaper than Alan Lazard, who is on IR.
How much is Jeff Smith? 3,000. Well,
funny you were talking. Oh, if you listen to the Kickers Matter pod yesterday, you'll understand. You'll understand. I'll get on to Jeff Smith, but I've got Cooks at Tennessee against Tennessee at 5,000. I think the price is still way too low. I don't think he should be in the 6,000, but I think there's the price is there to be exploited.
Yeah, it feels to me like it should be a couple hundred more. So like a mid to higher five thousand.
Yeah, agreed. I did have Deontay Johnson, but he's been ruled out, so I will scratch Deontay Johnson. Keelan Cole for Jacksonville against Detroit, mainly on he's been, how do I put it? He's been a bit kind of meh, but good meh, that makes any sense. He's got three touchdowns this season. Targets are 5, 7, 6, 5, 6. We've seen a constant amount of targets, pretty much similar every week. And with DJ Chark having this little bit of an injury over his head, and also Chenault with his, I believe it's his hamstring. I think.
Yeah, his hamstring,
Which is a little bit concerning for a running back, especially who likes to run a lot. Not running back, a wide receiver who likes to get a lot of yards after the catch with Chenault. And I think Keelan Cole is a safe play. I think against Detroit, I quite like it at 4,900. I'm just going to mention Tim Patrick at 4,500 just because it's Tim Patrick. And I don't think Stephon Gilmore is going to play this week if they do play. I think I heard something somewhere saying that. If he isn't, then... and I'm not saying that Tim Patrick's the wide receiver one there in Denver, but Gilmore is very important to that defense. And at 4,500, I think it's worth a flyer, along with Jeff Smith against Miami at 3,000, 20 targets the last two games. I will say this. If Perryman and or Mims is back for the Jets, then I'm a little bit less confident about Jeff Smith. I wouldn't say I'm overly confident about Jeff Smith, but I think the passing, the targets are there. And at 3,000, if you really want a shoot for the moon, if he sees 10 targets again, you never know. He might catch 5 of them and get a touchdown. Who knows? He might even outscore Chase Claypool.
I'm not going to bite. Yeah, let's move on.
You're not going to bite. If you're going to love the name of the Kickers Map pod this week, then.
Tight end. He's a cheap tight end.
I've got two I like. I've got Eric Ebron against Cleveland at 4,100. You talked about Ebron earlier briefly. He's kind of fitting into that offense nicely now, and with Johnny Johnson out, I think 4,100 is nice. And the other one is Trey Burton for the Colts against the Bengals. He's seen the last couple of games, well, his first two games, some pretty solid targets. I think 5 or 6 targets last two games, and he's valued at 3,100. The Bengals, I think, can be had, so I quite like him. So you can start Trey Burton and save a bit of money to spend elsewhere.
Yeah, as I'm saving money on my defense, as we mentioned earlier, my cheap guy is Evan Engram, 4,900.
Yeah,
it's more of a matchup thing. So I'll Washington, just awful against the position. Yeah, I know you said to me off air, did you enjoy the two targets that you had last week? No, but that was last week where, you know, the game kind of was really weird against Dallas. Against Washington, he's going to be a big part of this offense yet again. He's second in the team, I think, in targets behind Slayton. And he's actually the only tight end with more than 22 targets that's yet to score a touchdown. This, for me, feels like a game where Engram is going to blow up.
Ooh, so I want blow up is that's bold.
I don't think it's bold because I think Daniel Jones is going to look to Evan Engram because he's made it publicly known that he's not
any good.
He's made it kind of happen. Engram's made it quite clear that he's not being used the way that he thinks he should be, and he's not. He's running more curl routes than getting downfield. So I think they'll maybe take the wheels off a little bit and say, okay, well, let's see what you can do then, son.
With regards to Engram, I can see exactly where you're coming from on this play and the price. I don't mind it either at 4,900. I would say how much time is Daniel Jones going to have for Evan Engram against this Washington D-line, which I think could eat him alive?
So that plays more into tight end.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to work out if Engram is going to, if you're not going to be looking at the more kind of downfield targets, are you looking at trying to the short slant routes, the screens for Engram? He's very, very athletic. So I think am I thinking down the wrong lines? Are you thinking more he's going to see 10 targets for 9 catches for 60 yards and maybe a touchdown, or is he going to go off for 100 and a touch?
I think we could see him break off a pass for a big distance, and I also think he could, if you told me that he goes like 60 with 2 touchdowns, like, I'm not going to go, well, I can't see that.
No, I can definitely see that. I can see, but with that 60, I could see 8 receptions for it, because it's all about the time. If Daniel Jones gets some time in the pocket, then Engram will find space down the field.
Yeah.
Anybody else apart from Engram?
Nope, that was it.
What about your defenses? Your cheapo defenses?
Washington.
Yes.
I don't think I've actually got another one. I think it's just Washington. For me, 3,300. We already mentioned that, you know, Daniel Jones is going to be under pressure, which tends to mean turnovers or sacks. 3,300. It's a good price to have.
Yeah, so I've got exactly the same, mate. I've got Washington at 3,300. I've got one other, and I mentioned on the pod yesterday, I've got, it's the Cleveland Browns against the Steelers, 2,700. And this is literally chasing sacks. I'm going after sacks. They might not be great against the pass, but I think they'll get to the statue in the pocket that is Big Ben. I'm not saying that Ben's not going to have a good game. I just think they're going to sack him quite a few times. I think, didn't we have, was it five sacks, I think, be a bet?
I said
five for five.
I mean,
or more.
He's had six sacks all season.
Yeah. How's Myles Garrett playing? Pretty well. Defensive player of the year. Well, this might be so way off, but this is, I'm kind of just going to live on this hill this week. I think the Browns are going to sack Big Ben a few times, and that's all I'm going for on this. And in my lineup, in our little competition, it was either the Skins or the Browns, and it was difficult to fit the Skins in, and I'm gutted. So yeah, that's a little hint. I haven't got the Redskins in my team, and I'm a bit gutted about it. It hurts. It hurts, Rich. It hurts. All right, let's go on to stacks.
Okay, so I actually mentioned one of my stacks a little bit earlier. So Big Ben and Claypool.
Yeah.
Works out to 11,900. I think you're getting all of what you want, really, which is, touchdown upside there with a poor secondary and a quarterback wide receiver tandem that should rack up some points. My second one is Stafford and Hockenson.
Okay. Yeah.
I always feel like a quarterback tight end stack always feels quite natural.
Yeah.
So that's a combined price of 11,600, so slightly cheaper than the Big Ben and Claypool one. So yeah, you can get those both in. I do have a third one, which I just thought of as we were talking.
Which is
Drew Lock.
Yeah.
5,400.
Yeah.
I feel like you fought loads of boys. That's really weird.
No,
and Tim Patrick.
No, yeah. I don't have that many, mate.
that's not what I've heard. And Tim Patrick at 4,500. So you're talking the stack there of 9,900. So 2,000 less than the Big Ben and Claypool stack.
Yeah.
And you think Tim Patrick's going to have a decent game, then, you know, Drew Lock's probably going to have something.
You'd hope, wouldn't you?
You'd hope.
Yeah. I've got two stacks that I like this week. You've already mentioned Matt Stafford and Hockenson. I'm stacking Matt Stafford and Kenny Golladay.
Yeah, I thought you would.
Combined at 12.5. I'm all over this week. I think both of these boys are going to have a great week. And the next stack is Deshaun Watson and Brandon Cooks. And that comes in at 12,000. So, going up against the Titans. I think both of those stacks, and to be perfectly honest, mate, I think we've just got five stacks on varying prices that are all looking pretty tasty this week.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Let's move on. Who is your must-start super duper player of the week?
Evan Ingram.
Oh, really? He's going, I love it. I love the fact.
It's just the price. It's just the price. Like, how can I not? Like, I feel as though you could even put him in your flex.
Yeah.
And I'd feel okay with it. You know, that this matchup should be great for him. Yeah. You know, he should get targets. He has the ability to punish Washington. Like, just feels like I need him in my lineup.
Is it the same feeling as Ryan Fitzpatrick? I need him in my lineup, but I kind of know it might go tits up in my face.
No, because I don't see how this will go tits up. That's the thing. Like, I see.
I love the confidence, mate. I'm seriously, I am 100% here for the confidence in Evan Ingram. Love it.
I think part of it is I've got him in some leagues where I'm playing him this week. So I just want to hear positivity about it. I don't want to hear any negativity. So that's maybe where I am a little bit.
So your best player of the week is Evan Engram at 4,900 for the Giants.
Yeah.
The Skins. Mine is James Robinson, running back for the Jaguars, going up against the Lions. Price is 6,800. I still, with how he is in this offense and how much they're using him in the passing game, and obviously in the rushing game. 6,800 doesn't scare me. And against Houston. Not against Houston, against the Lions, who are allowing like 150 or plus or whatever number it was I mentioned earlier. I think James Robinson could be in for a phenomenal game this week. And yeah, he's my player of the week. He's my play of the week, which now takes us
to the bit that I have been waiting for, which is it's something new, because we were doing mini maker lineups, which are fun.
Yeah.
And we have the season long league. But I just thought, you know, let's just go mano a mano.
Let's get heads up.
One on one.
I'm not going to have to look at my team. Heads up, Jamie versus Rich. I'm loving this. Now, I reckon what we should do is go position by position.
Okay, yeah, all right, let's do that. Yeah.
Okay, Rich, would you like to start us off with your quarterback?
Big Ben.
And what's his price?
6,700.
Big Ben, 6,700. I'm going Matthew Stafford, 6,300 against Jacksonville. Who is your running back one?
Miles Gaskin. 5,400.
I'll tell you who my running back one is. Miles Gaskin at 5,400.
Oh,
remind me against the Jets. Who's your running back two?
David Montgomery. Is yours by chance the same?
No.
Okay.
No, my running back two is James Robinson, 6,800 against the Lions for Jacksonville. Your wide receiver one.
Crowder.
6'1". Love it.
6'1".
Love it. My wide receiver one is Adam Thielen. 7,300 against the Falcons. I've got to have a bit of that, even at the price.
Yep.
Who's your wide receiver two?
Chase Claypool. 5,200.
Stacking in with Big Ben.
Yep. It was one of my stacks, wasn't it?
I know. I like it. My wide receiver two is Kenny Golladay. 6,200. I'm stacking in with Matty Stafford.
Okay.
Your wide receiver three.
Marvin Jones.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I really do.
I thought you'd go Golladay. When I saw the price, I thought, he's going Golladay and Stafford. I'm going to live in there. Rent free.
Really?
So when Stafford's throwing the ball and Golladay is getting quadruple teamed.
Who's free?
Marvin Jones.
Can I just? I'm just gonna just check one little thing about Marvin Jones. I'm just interested to see. Oh, three targets in week three and two targets in week four. Okay, interesting. Brilliant. He might. No, I do.
Okay,
like,
what I'll tell you.
Marvin Jones this week.
As a Green Bay Packers fan, what I will tell you is it doesn't matter a single lick what he's been getting up until the game. Because I've seen him when I'm like, people are like, I'm going to start Marvin Jones against the Packers. And I'm like, and then How many touchdowns did he score? Three?
Do you know what? Last year, I heard someone say something about Marvin Jones, and up to week six, he was very, very quiet. From weeks one to five, very, very quiet. Comes on week six and bangs out a four touchdown game. What's he done this year? He's been very, very quiet first 5 weeks.
That's what I'm saying to you. So what I'll say is at least you'll get some points with Stafford throwing him the ball. But
do you know what's really, really annoying is I could have literally come straight back at you if I didn't have this late injury that came in. Because I can guarantee you 1,000,000% that if Deontay Johnson was not injured, he was straight in my lineup. And it would have been exactly the same for your Claypool. And so I'm a bit gutted. But my wide receiver three is Jameson Crowder at 6-1. I like that. He was a last minute one for me. Who is your tight end? I'm guessing.
You don't have to ask.
Evan Engram.
That's right. 4,900.
I've gone Trey Burton at 3,100.
You'd need to, because you've spent up everywhere else.
Oh, I've still got a little surprise for you in my flex.
Let's go
defense first. Who's your defense? It's Washington, isn't it?
Colts.
Oh, wow. He's paid up for defense.
Got the cash, mate. Got the cash.
I've gone with the Browns. The Colts were 4,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gone with the Browns at 2,700. I really wanted the Redskins. But wasn't going to happen. Now, who is your flex?
Robinson. Jacksonville Jaguar running back. 6,800.
That's right.
So, basically, we've got Gaskin and Robinson.
Hold on.
Wait.
My flex is David Montgomery.
So basically, our running backs are a scrub. So really, what it feels like then is we're not really playing running backs and we're not playing Crowder. So really, it's Roethlisberger, Claypool, Jones, Engram and Colts versus Stafford,
Thielen, Golladay,
and
the Browns.
Congratulations. I think you might win with Thielen and Golladay. Oh, come on, Evan Engram. One time.
Maybe.
Don't get injured. One time.
Oh, well. So I'm going to run my team. Obviously, I'll run Stafford, Robinson, Gaskin, Thielen, Golladay, Crowder, Burton, Montgomery, and Brown. The Browns DST. Yours is
Roethlisberger, Gaskin, Montgomery, Claypool, Crowder, Jones, Engram, Robinson, and the Colts.
Did you have any money left over?
I think I had a couple hundred left.
Yeah, I had 300 left.
The thing is, I don't typically like to spend completely because if one of these players now gets out, I have some automatic wiggle.
Yeah.
Whereas if I spend right up to the cap, then I'm like, oh, now I have to change this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
Oh no, I did spend right up to the cap. My bad.
Oh no, I've got 300. But badly. I've got 300 left to play if I need to.
I'd recommend spending that.
Nah, I'll be all right.
You're gonna need it. Engram's gonna beast.
I love the confidence. Absolutely
need the confidence. No, I need it.
As I said earlier. Before we start recording this week, the price of the players have made things really quite difficult because I've been 100 out on another lineup on trying to get it exactly how perfect, and it's just really annoying. Like I really, really wanted the Redskins, but I couldn't find another 300 that I wanted. I wasn't going to drop Dave Montgomery and bring in Devontae Freeman. I seriously considered it just to fit the...
But then you thought, I want to win, so don't do that.
I'm going to win anyway, mate. This is going 1-0 to me.
No.
It is, mate. Where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at RichKingFF or KFantasy_sports.
Churning out great content.
Every day, it's new stuff going up. So website is always ticking over with new stuff. If there's if you have any questions, and reach out, help you with season long leagues, give awful DFS advice, obviously. And yeah, let's all hope that Evan Ingram absolutely bosses it this weekend.
Fingers crossed for you anyway, mate. Fingers crossed. Hopefully he helps you get over the 100-point mark.
Yeah, that'd be nice if he does that single-handedly.
Oh, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? You can find me on Twitter at Jamie_Byrom, BYROMKM, which is Kickers Matter, where you can find both of us on the podcast at Kickers Matter Fantasy Football. And you can find the season-long DFS at season-long DFS on Twitter and www.seasonlongdfs.com. Next week, we will have the usual spreadsheet leaderboard up behind us with week 6 scores. Fingers crossed this time. We don't have any more malfunctions, mate. I'm blaming it on you.
I'm used to getting the blame, so that's fine by me, mate.
Good. I'm looking forward to Jeff Smith absolutely beasting it this week.
If he does, I'm not coming back. That's it. That'll be it. I won't be on the pod for Kickers Matter, I'll tell you that. If Jeff Smith has a good week, I'm not coming on.
I can't.
The thing is, I feel as though you won't even say anything. You'll just be there just going like, did you watch the Jets game?
No, I won't. If Jeff Smith goes off, I will not say anything. If he goes badly, I won't say anything. I'm not gonna rub it in your face at all.
It's worse if you don't say anything. Like, it's just weird, isn't it? It's a weird situation because I kind of want you to rub it in, but then I don't. So I just won't. I just won't be there. So yeah, that's that.
All right, mate. Well, thank you very much for joining me. Again,
that's always a pleasure.
And I look forward to reviewing week 6 with you next week. And hopefully Evan Ingram does something for you.
Does the business, yeah. I need him to.
Fingers crossed. Have a good week, mate. Or weekend, in fact.
You too.
All right. Peace out.
Bye.